Hey, Locked On MLB fans, you're going to love this. Today's episode is brought to you by Sports Card Investor App. Welcome to the world of trading cards reimagined. Stay tuned later in the show for some information on this awesome new tool for collectors. You're going to want to check out the Sports Card Collector App. But right now, you're going to want to check out Locked On MLB.
Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. There's my lower third. Those of you who may know me, I am been a podcaster for the last 10 years. I'm an Emmy-nominated television producer. I've been a comedian, an actor, an improviser, an author of many articles on baseball in several magazines, and directed a feature film. I've appeared in HBO sports documentaries. I know a few things about baseball, and I'm here to have you just float down the river, Sully, with me as we talk about baseball and we talk about what was an action-packed night. Several games went deep into the night. Several of the games were incredibly close. And we pretty much are going to see the end of a debate as is it better to be blown out or lose by a razor-thin margin? I think we know the answer to that. Two teams are playing at a tremendous clip right now. And we say goodbye to a Dodger legend who may have completely changed the way that fans in Los Angeles come to the game. I am not using hyperbole when we say that. Oh, guess what? This show is available wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks so much for making us your first listen. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnMLBPod. Same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. It's the 8th of July. It is Friday. Happy weekend to everybody. By the time I'm going to take a few days off for the weekend, and then we'll be in mid-July. The All-Star Game will be staring us right in the face. This season is absolutely flying by. For those of you who are just waking up and may not know what's going on in the world of baseball on Thursday, let's review some of the games. An absolute thriller took place in San Diego. Joe Musgrove took a no-hitter into the sixth inning, and it was an absolute classic pitcher's match between between the Musgrove of San Diego. Webb of San Francisco pitched eight innings, let up only the one run. And Manny Machado hit a home run to make the game 1-0 for San Diego until the ninth, when Brandon Crawford tied it with a double. And the Padres wound up getting a walk-off hit to straightaway center field by Jorge Alfaro. Really ugly event happened in that game where Jurickson Profar, the talented left fielder for the Padres, one-time big shortstop prospect, had a nasty collision in a ball that came into the shallow outfield and had to be carted off with his neck in a brace. We hope Jurickson Profar as well, and we hope the Padres will continue on without him while he's getting his injury checked. We hopefully that it isn't that serious. He was giving a thumbs up as he was leaving, but it was pretty scary if you saw that. Hey, remember how the Giants last year were a 107-win ball club? Well, now they're exactly halfway through this season, and they're 81 games into the season, and they are 41-40. They're exactly one game above 500. Everything that broke right for the Giants last year are breaking badly right now. Going around, I'm not the biggest fan of win-loss record, but when you see a guy's 11-0 with an ERA of 1.62, you got to at least stop and look at what he's doing. That's Tony Gonsolin. The Dodgers wound up winning, and two home runs for Mookie Betts. We're going to talk about a little bit the Dodgers in the final segment of the show. Justin Verlander, another throwback. His ERA is down to 2. He's a classic ace again. The Astros are probably the one team that could truly challenge the Yankees for the American League pennant, unless there's a big upset. We'll get to the Yankees a little bit later on. But the Yankees, well, let's just the Pirates and the Reds played a doubleheader that would have been a huge game in the 70s or the early 90s, or even in 2013. As it were, there are two teams that are going to try to avoid 100 losses. The Pirates won the first game 4-2. Jonathan India and the Reds wound up taking the nightcap 5-1. I hope you all enjoyed that. The Philadelphia Phillies got another fine performance from Derek Hall, wound up getting an RBI double. And Didi Gregorius got an RBI triple. The Phillies still don't understand you're supposed to wear powder blue uniforms on the road. But as it were, the Phillies are still tied for a wild card spot with their 5-3 victory over the Washington Nationals. They are tied with the St. Louis Cardinals, who played a thriller of their own, an 11-game back-and-forth, low-scoring 3-2 matchup. And Spencer Strider for the Braves pitched quite well. Thank you very much. But it was Jordan Hicks pitched quite well for the Cardinals. Carlson got the go-ahead RBI single. Cardinals won that one 3-2 in extra innings. And Packy Naughton got his first save. Good for Packy Naughton of the St. Louis Cardinals, hanging on for dear life. The Orioles haven't gotten a lot of love on this. I've gotten called out for that. They played a tremendous game earlier this week where they just were in a back and forth with the Rangers. And the Rangers got a go-ahead home run in the, I think it was the 8th, 9th, and 10th. And still the Orioles managed to win that game. The Orioles are only 4 games under 500. The Orioles are not a terrible team. And they find ways to win. And you saw that Rutschman hit a home run today. Mountcastle got a big, huge hit. Cedric Mullins made a great play. And you saw that Jordan Lyles pitched well. The Orioles are 40-44. They beat the Angels, who are 38-46. Now think about that. The Orioles have a better record than the Angels. The Angels have Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, and the Orioles are better. Trevor Williams is doing his share for the Mets, who absolutely bombed the Marlins 10-0. The Tigers and the White Sox played an interesting game. That game went to the 9th. The White Sox were losing 2-0. Cease pitched very well, thank you very much, for the White Sox. But the White Sox lineup couldn't get anything done. They finally got a run across. They had runners on 2nd and 3rd and 1 out. And Jose Abreu came up. And the White Sox announcers, led by the wonderful Jason Benetti, could not understand why the Tigers were not walking Jose Abreu. And partly because Gregory Soto, the closer for the Tigers, couldn't throw a strike. His pitches were all over creation. And yet he got Jose Abreu to chase a ball or two. And next thing you know, the White Sox could not push that tying run across. 2-1 final for the Detroit Tigers. The White Sox are, again, they're at the halfway mark of their season, and they're 3 games under 500. They are just not doing the job. The Rockies beat the Diamondbacks. Randall Grichuk cut the go-ahead double in the 9th inning. 4-3 was the final there. We're going to talk a little bit in segment 2 about the fact that the Mariners are playing well. Marco Gonzalez pitched well. The Blue Jays are in a little bit of a slump, even though they got a RBI single from Vlad Jr. Dylan Moore homered. Suarez homered. Suarez also got a 2-run single. Crawford had some great defense. The Mariners took the game 8-3. And for the first time since mid-May, the Mariners are at even 500 with an 8-3 record. The Red Sox and Yankees played. I've been saying that Red Sox fans should not be obsessing over the Yankees. The Yankees took an early 5-0 lead, but then Rafael Devers hit a pair of home runs, a 2-run home run and a 3-run home run off of Gerrit Cole. And then, so it was 6-5 in the 5th, final score 6-5. You know, I'm going to talk in the second segment about two teams. I'm going to talk about the Yankees, and I'm going to talk about the Mariners. But I can tell you, as a native New Englander, I would rather the Red Sox had lost that game 6-0 than 6-5. When Donaldson hit a grand slam and Hicks followed it up with a home run to make it 5-0 Yankees in the third, I was like, well, this game's over. And my mind and my heart had moved on to other things in life. And then, of course, the Red Sox had to rally, and they couldn't push a single run across in the 6th, 7th, 8th, or 9th. One single run being pushed across in any of those innings, boom, the game would have been tied. It's always better to have the doors blown off the dump than to lose by that slightest margin, because you could just think of every pitch up in, for the rest of the game and say, oh, man, what could have happened? But you know what? These were the memories, the great games you go see, even the frustrating ones. I built up memories over a long period of time. Those of you who may not know me that well, I've been a rabid baseball fan since the late 70s. And I have built up over the years memories. And a lot of times those memories come in the form of cards. Baseball cards were a huge, huge part of my life. Now, I did a whole episode not too long ago where I gave the majority of my baseball cards to two young fans who are about 10, 11 years old. I wanted them to experience the joy that I had. And we go through the cards of these two wonderful kids who are huge baseball fans. They love looking at the cards, going through the cards that were part of my baseball card collection. And you know what? There's a great way to look over your cards, see what their value is beyond the sentimentality, and find a new sort of generation of how to collect sports cards. Welcome to the world of sports cards reimagined. The Sports Card Investor app is the hobby's most powerful resource. Quickly check the value of your favorite cards, find great deals, and profit from that wonderful hobby that we all love. Available completely for free in the Google Play and Apple App Stores, the Sports Card Investor app is a must-have for any sports fan or baseball card fan. It's completely free. You can easily browse over nearly 630,000 cards from every sport, with hundreds more added each week. You can check the latest value for your favorite cards with 7-day or 30-day charts. You can find the best prices and buy directly through the app or eBay deals feature. So what I need you to do is to download the Sports Card Investor app today, available for free in the Google Play and Apple App Store, or go to sportsinvestor.com/lockedon. Look it, if you're like me and you grew up loving these baseball cards, this is a must-have app. So check it out. Hey, I want to just talk about a couple of things. Two teams won. I mentioned both of them. The Yankees. Now, look it. I want to just bring up something about the Yankees. Around this time last year, the Yankees were swept by the Red Sox, and they were in that sort of undertow of those brutal losses they had to the Angels, to the Astros. Remember the walk-off home run off of Chapman? Or no, it was off of Chad Green. You had the Mets series where their bullpen imploded. You had that horrible Angels loss for them, the Red Sox sweep. All these things happened. Then they lost in the cornfield to the White Sox. And at the halfway mark, they were at even 500. Even 500 for the Yankees. And for Yankee haters, it was, you know, we were dancing around the maypole thing. Oh, my God, the Yankees are going to be bad. The Yankees are going to be bad. Do you know how the Yankees have done since that stretch? Let's just say the 162-game stretch that the Yankees have had since then. So they've played essentially from that point of the season when they got swept by the Red Sox last year to today. They have played 162 games. Okay, that's the equivalent of a full season. Their record in that stretch is 110-52. Since that stretch where their bullpen lost all those gut punch games, they have been a 110-win team. They finished the season last year 50-29, and they are now 60-23. So over a full season sample size, this Yankees squad is one of the elite teams in the history of the Yankees, which, by the way, also goes to show how darn good that 1998 team was. But I digress. Since getting kicked in the teeth as badly as they did last year, they have played at such an elite level that, you know, for people like me who called for the head of this person, called for the head of that person, and said they're not doing this right or not doing that right, they're apparently doing something right. And today was a classic example of one of the reasons why this team is playing so well. Cole didn't have it. He let up 5 runs. And this was not the best looking squad that they had. They didn't even have Judge in the lineup. And even without Judge, even with Devers as a one-man wrecking crew, and even with Cole not on his game, the Yankees found a way to win. That makes them a really scary team. A really scary team because they find ways to pull the games out. It's one of the reasons why they're sitting on top of the American League East with a 14.5 game lead. And 4 of the teams in that division are playoff caliber teams. So it's not like they're running away. Like right now, you know, there's a couple of divisions where you have, you know, the Twins are currently the only team in the Central with a winning record. The Astros right now are the only team with a winning record in the West. The AL East has Tampa, Boston, and Toronto, who would be, you know, all those teams would be within a game or so of first place of the Central. And the Yankees have a more than two-week advantage over those teams. It's really remarkable. Now, one of the things I talked about the other day is that the American League postseason situation may already be locked in. The division winners, you know, the Yankees and the Astros are locked in. The Twins are up by a few games over the currently 4.5 games over Cleveland and 6 games over Chicago. So those aren't insurmountable, but they haven't shown much of a sense of urgency, especially with Cleveland on a 4-game losing streak. And so it looks pretty solid that you're going to have, you know, the Yankees, Twins, and Astros as the division winners, Boston, Toronto, and Tampa Bay as a wildcard team. Now, what team can pull a challenge? Who's the one team that doesn't have a losing record, that currently isn't a playoff team, and is the closest one, in fact, are only 3 games out of a playoff spot right now? That would be the Seattle Mariners, the team that I picked to win the American League West, who have been an unbelievable disappointment this whole year. While we weren't looking, the Mariners have turned it around. On June 19th, the Mariners hit rock bottom, okay? They lost 7 out of 10 games. They were 10 games under 500. They had just lost 4 out of 5 to the Angels, and they were shut out the final 2 games to the Angels. They went off to Oakland on the summer solstice. So the minute the spring ended and the summer began, the Mariners have played 16 games and have won 13 of them. And they're right now, from that stretch, from the 21st of June on, those couple weeks, the Mariners are tied with the Houston Astros for the best record in baseball in that stretch, okay? And with the Guardians slumping, the White Sox unable to get out of their own way, and the fact that the Mariners beat Toronto, they didn't beat a chump today, they beat Toronto 8-3. Dylan Moore got a big home run. Marco Gonzalez pitched well, and They had a Suarez hit a home run, and they worked around an RBI from Vlad Guerrero Jr. And this was a good team they beat, and a team that they're chasing for the wild card spot. And if a team is going to emerge as a surprise contender, tough to call it a surprise, I picked them to win the division. Okay, to turn a season around from disappointment to excitement, kind of like what happened with the Braves last year or the Nationals in 2019. And boy, Seattle fans would love it if it has the same ending. Okay. But with some of those other teams slumping, the Mariners have found themselves, even though they're only at 500, as we're approaching the halfway mark, they found themselves in a possible contender spot. You know, Julio Rodriguez has turned it around. His last week, he slashed a 348 average, 400 on base, and they wound up with just playing. He's playing on a tremendous clip. The last 2 weeks, Julio Rodriguez has had an OPS of 1.068. Logan Gilbert's pitched pretty well as well. So what I'm saying is, there are teams like Atlanta a few years ago, like Atlanta last year, Washington a few years ago. There are teams that we may sleep on a little bit because they got off to the rough start. But the Mariners are playing at a huge clip right now. They are no longer on a sinking ship. And my calls to fire the manager may have been premature. I'm a reactionary. But there you go. The Mariners are giving a serious jolt of life to this pennant race, which could just be dead, could be lifeless, and have absolutely no energy. In fact, this entire pennant race could use a Built Bar. From the people who invented healthy and tasty comes the latest gift to your taste buds. You've probably tried the coconut brownie chunk Built Bar. Well, guess what? Your friends at Built have created the coconut brownie chunk puff, and it's good. That coconut brownie chunk puff Built Bar is now a deliciously chewy, marshmallowy, covered in 100% real chocolate and fluffy like a cloud of coconut brownie goodness. Say that three times fast late at night. You can stop drooling, though, because these are good for you. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and all delicious. Coconut brownie chunk puffs are here for a limited time. So go to Built.com now to make sure you don't miss out. At Built Bars, they're making with the collagen protein, which your body absorbs more effectively and provides tons of health benefits. The best part about Built Puffs is they taste amazing, but you can enjoy them guilt-free since they're actually good for you. And they're the perfect treat, even when you've got a craving and you need something to satisfy your sweet tooth, or if you need a quick, healthy snack, you got to go with a Built Bar. Delicious coconut, rich, sweet brownie, creamy marshmallow. Stop fantasizing. Go to Built.com and to order your box of coconut brownie chunk puffs right away. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15, and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 to get your Built Bars and get that discount through Locked On MLB. Before we get going, I just want to pay tribute to someone, you know, and who is certainly going to be part of the In Memoriam video next year. Mike Brito died at the age of 87. Now, if you don't know who Mike Brito is, if you at all watched baseball during the 1980s and you saw Dodger games, and the Dodgers were the only team to win multiple World Series titles in the 1980s, you saw there was a guy behind home plate with a really cool Panama hat and a mustache, and he would be taking, he had a radar gun, and he'd be taking the radar gun at every pitch. He was standing there. He was a fixture at all Dodger games. And he was Mike Brito, who was a Dodger scout for nearly half a century. He died the other day, and he was a Mexican scout who in 1978, he signed a player named Bobby Castillo, who was a pitcher from Mexico playing for the Dodgers. Now, there's a significance to something that he did. I live in Los Angeles County now. Excuse me, I just shifted the camera there. I live in LA County now, and I work with many people who have a Mexican background. And many of those people who I work with who are of Mexican descent are rabid Dodger fans. You go all around Los Angeles County, you see many people who are of, you know, either from Mexico or Central America who live here in Los Angeles County. Dodger shirts, Dodger hats, Dodger flags everywhere. It is an incredibly popular team, especially with the large Mexican-American community here. That was not always the case. In fact, there was a significant chunk of time where the Mexican community did not embrace the Dodgers at all, because Chavez Ravine, where the Dodgers play, was there was a thriving Mexican-American community living on the land where Dodger Stadium currently resides. And there was tons of evictions, pushing people out of their homes. There was a lot of shadiness to the building of Dodger Stadium, promise for inexpensive housing. Instead, the housing was leveled and up came a palace for millionaires. And so for a generation or two, including while the Dodgers were winning championships with Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale, the Mexican community of Los Angeles, for the most part, did not embrace the Dodgers. The attendance was very small for the Mexican community because of what Dodger Stadium symbolized. And Campanis, who was the GM of the Dodgers, wanted a Mexican star on the team to basically ignite a potential fan base that he saw was there that he wanted to tap into. And it was the job of Mike Brito to find that star. Now, Brito was the head scout for the Mexican League, and he set up lots of tryouts for players in Mexico to give and throughout Central America to give their chance to the major leagues. And the number, with according to MLB.com, in the 1980s, fewer than 40 Mexican-born players had ever appeared in Major League Baseball. And Brito found, in a small, obscure town, Fernando Valenzuela. And Fernando Valenzuela came up, shot through the system, and wound up being not only the star of the 1981 World Series champion Dodgers, he electrified baseball. He was the most compelling star in baseball. He won Rookie of the Year, Cy Young Award, and threw a complete game victory in the World Series as the Dodgers won. Something that baseball desperately needed, a star like that, especially because it was the middle of a strike in 1981. And Fernando wasn't just a good pitcher. He was charismatic. He was funny. He had a larger-than-life personality, but he also just looked like a guy. He just looked like a guy you would see in the neighborhood, a guy you see living in your town. He didn't look like an elite athlete. And of course, he had tremendous physical gifts. He pitched in the major leagues for over a decade. You can't do that without tremendous physical gifts. But he had kind of a pudgy face and kind of a roly-poly body. He looked like a fan and not a player. And he excited everyone because he was so dominant. And it helped create that illusion. And it is an illusion, but he helped perpetuate that illusion and the fantasy. They're like, hey, that's not an elite physical specimen. That looks like me, or that looks like a guy I know. And creating that illusion that maybe that guy, you know, could be a star pitcher. And he became the biggest gate attraction that the Dodgers had seen since Sandy Koufax. but he also opened the floodgate for Mexican-American fans living in Los Angeles, saying, that's my guy. That's my guy. And he was discovered by Mike Brito and urged him to sign with the Dodgers. The Yankees had found him too. And he had to intercept them at the pass and convinced the Dodgers to sign him. And here we are. If you go to Dodger Stadium, you look at probably the most popular ones is either Mookie Betts. The popular jersey would be Mookie Betts or Clayton Kershaw. Valenzuela's right up there. You will see tons of Valenzuela shirts to this day. The guy hasn't pitched for the Dodgers since 1990. And yet the ripple effect of what he did for the team can still be felt. Now, Brito signed many, many major leaguers, Julio Urias, Yasiel Puig, Joaquin Soria, a lot of players who went on to have very successful careers in the major leagues. And Mike Brito changed the course of the Dodgers, changed the makeup of Dodger fans forever. May not be a name you recognize, but watch those old films from the 1980s and you'll see him in every darn pitch. So rest in peace, Mike Brito. You were given the assignment to find a star that might ignite the Mexican-American community in Los Angeles. I think it's safe to say you did your job. And it's safe to say I've done my job here for today's episode. Well, this is going to be an interesting weekend. You have a bunch of matchups, including the continuing of the Red Sox and the Yankees. I would not be surprised if the Yankees swept the Red Sox just because. But hey, thanks so much for making Locked On MLB your first listen. Now, your second listen should be Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia who's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's available for free wherever you get your podcasts. Talking about Mike Brito and the rise of the Yankees and the Mariners, this has been Locked On MLB for the 8th day of July, 2022. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.